I would only be in your way, so I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way.
Now, back to the King David Show on 1010 CBS Sports Radio.
And I will always love you.
I will say this. There are very few things that are beautiful, regardless of race, creed, ethnicity, culture, like or dislike. No matter what you think about her lifestyle, Whitney's voice is something that appealed to everyone that heard it.
Sean, is it bad that whenever I hear this song, I just think about Kevin Costner?
I know, hitting that.
I was shocked to find out she was only 48, considering she looked like she was in her early 70s.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying. I really was shocked.
And that's the thing with Whitney. Like, you can dislike, like, have a problem with, be okay with her lifestyle, her voice. Is the single most gifted voice in the history of America. Probably the only voice that no one's ever been able to cover her songs and do it justice. And a lot of people don't know, this is a Dolly Parton song that Whitney redid, and most people think that it's hers. She's the only person no one's ever really been able to cover.
Most memorable Super Bowl song ever.
No doubt
and
about
it's not.
It.
I always thought it's because we're here in Tampa, mm-hmm. and we always thought that. But when she passed, and you start seeing the national pundits talk about her Super Bowl down here in Tampa during the Gulf War, I remember I was a little kid, the younger guy at the time, and wow, and that's memorable.
And you'll never forget that American flag jogging suit. And the great thing about that Super Bowl is it was our next guest's 35th birthday back in 91. We'd like to welcome Roy Cummings from the Tampa Tribune to the King David Show. What's up, Roy?
I think actually my birthday was probably a couple months before that, and I probably let's see at that time that's my about my 20th, maybe. Let's say that.
I got you confused with Ira. My bad. I didn't know you guys were old.
Oh, that was about Ira's 55th back then.
Hey, welcome to the show. Roy, let's just get right into it. And before we get started, because there's been so many reports, you know, so many rumors. Right now, as we stand, who's actually under contract outside of Greg Schiano that's going to be a part of this 2012 staff?
Under contract. Well, we know Mike Sullivan, and I think P.J. Fleck. Really, it's Ben just tweeted that he just got off the phone with his new receivers coach, and we heard some reports that P.J. Fleck had been given that spot. But, you know, the Bucs haven't announced anything, and all they've announced so far beyond Schiano is Mike Sullivan's hiring. They're still looking for a defensive coordinator, as we know, based on the understanding that we have that they were denied at some point by the 49ers, Ed Donatell, so they don't have that done. You know, other than that, there's just a bunch of rumors. So as far as who's actually on staff, Mike Sullivan for sure, and maybe P.J. Fleck. It seems like he's in because he's starting to call some of his receivers around, but other than that, we don't know anything.
Roy Cummings, Tampa Tribune here on the King David Show. Roy, you mentioned that the Bucs have been denied by the Arizona Cardinals, the Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers most recently, if I'm not mistaken. You have a feel for what's going on in the temperature at one Buck. What's the frustration level, you know, at some of these other organizations from within the Bucks organization for continually being blocked?
I think they're probably starting to realize that as much as it was important for them to, you know, to do their due diligence and pick the right head coach, they're feeling it a little bit now because it did take them three-plus weeks to get that done, and they're a little bit behind the eight ball there. They're into a period, you know, the hiring period or the hiring season, as a lot of agents like to refer to it, is usually the first 2-3 weeks tops of the offseason. Once you get into a month out, people start looking at other things. They start looking into free agency, the draft, and they want to have their staffs pretty much set. And if you're in the situation the Bucks are in, you're calling up a lot of teams that are trying to maintain what they've got, and they don't want to be the ones out there on the street looking for, you know, a tight ends coach tomorrow that may be hard to find. So There's still some teams out there, you know, trying to fill their staffs, but at the same time, and that's why they've been denied a lot of these. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody trying to get back at the Buccaneers for the days when Bruce Allen was running the team and he wouldn't let some of his guys, you know, like Joe Barry and Rod Marinelli and Mike Tomlin, some of those guys get out of their contracts when they had opportunities to the first time. But it's not really a payback, but I mean, it is kind of a it's ironic that this is happening to the Buccaneers. But at the same time, I'll say this. I think they are well along the way, at least on the offensive side of the ball, to getting some of these guys done. We've heard a lot of rumors about, you know, some of the guys coming from Rutgers and things like that. So my guess is they've got at least half the staff, maybe a little bit more, completed. So the frustration level may not be that great, but they are running into some roadblocks, and that's certainly got to be frustrating for them.
Roy Cummings, Tampa Tribune here on the King David Show. Roy, give us some background, and if you have any heard anything about the master plan, talk a little bit about the senior offensive and defensive assistant positions that aren't generally typical. Like, what's their reasoning for doing that? What's ultimately their goal?
That's a good question. In the case of, now, on the offensive side of the ball, we've heard Jimmy Ray's name, and we've also heard Jimmy Ray II's name. There's two Jimmy Rays. There's a Jimmy Ray who's been around the league forever, and some reports have him coming to the Bucs as a senior assistant on offense. Some others have had it as Jimmy Ray II, who is his son, and I'm not sure which one it is. Again, the Bucs haven't announced that, and I'm not exactly sure what his role would be. My guess is it would be similar to what the defensive special assistant to the head coach is going to be. But that's what I've heard. That's what I've gotten from the agents for Butch Davis, is that the role that Butch Davis is going to have here, at least for now, is special assistant to the head coach, which is, to me, it's a completely new position in the National Football League. And I guess it's something born out of the fact that maybe the Bucs don't want to pay the $1.5 million that Butch is guaranteed through his contract with University of North Carolina. Although it does bring to me the question, why, if you've got Butch Davis on the staff and you're struggling to get a defensive coordinator, which it seems like they might be doing, you know, why not just pay the $1.5 million or $1.7 or $8 million it is that UNC owes Butch Davis, guarantee him that, and make him your defensive coordinator? Because in the position he's in, it's, you know, apparently going to have to be an advisory role, and I would think that there's going to be maybe a lot of, you know, maybe UNC is going to be checking up on the Bucs to make sure that this guy isn't out there on the field. And, you know, I don't know how you can not be a coach if you're drawing up defensive plays and things like that. If, you know, if he's just a personnel assistant, maybe that's a completely different animal. But it's hard to know at this point. And those are some of the questions, you know, that we have for the Buccaneers. They haven't been very open through this process. It's been hard to get information from them. It's well, been almost impossible. And, you know, I think fans have a right to know what's going on with this football team and, you know, with what's going on with some of these players and some of these coaches. And we'd like to find out. And what the question you're asking me is one that I'd love to ask Mark Domenech at this point and say, you know, what's he going to be, Butch Davis? Is he going to be a hands-on coach? Is he just going to draw plays? Is he going to be a personnel guy? What's he going to be? He's an important addition, and I think people want to know what he's going to do.
You know, Roy, I agree with you. I've reached out to Grella a couple of times and haven't gotten a response, so I guess they're keeping everything in-house over there, because I was trying to get an explanation from a league standpoint, and I guess I could call the league office, you know, what are the do's and don'ts when it comes to a special assistant? Do you have any information on what would be allowed and what would not be allowed by Butch Davis and Jimmy Ray?
I got to think that that's completely up to the team. You know, the NFL is sort of, in a lot of ways, it's like, you know, it's like the United States. You know, you have these basic rules that everybody has to go by. But then as a team, you can do things as you wish, you know, and everybody does. And I think one of the things we may see changing, and I don't know this for sure, and this is going to be frustrating for a lot of us in the media and eventually the fans, is I sort of get the feeling that with Greg Schiano, it could be a one-voice kind of atmosphere there where they really do go by the book in terms of how much they let out to the media, and that one voice is Greg Schiano's, and maybe we don't hear from Mark Domenech as often. Maybe we just get the coordinators on their specified days once a week for 10 minutes with the media, and we don't get the assistant coaches. But I've kind of heard through the grapevine that that's kind of the way Greg Schiano ran things at Rutgers, that the assistant coaches weren't allowed to speak much. So, you know, if that's the case, and You know, certainly teams can do that if they wish to in the NFL. There are bylaws they have to go by in terms of the media, but if they want to change up those rules a little bit, they can certainly, you know, push it to the limit, and teams often do. And maybe it's the same with a special assistant or a senior assistant on offense. Maybe these are job descriptions that are kind of being processed now. You know, maybe the whole idea was get the guys on the staff. They're important to us. We'll worry about what their roles are and what we can do with them after we get them here, but let's get them here.
Roy, any chance that you could see the Buccaneers try to settle with North Carolina and say, if you pick up $600,000 or $700,000 of the $1.8 million, we'll pick up the rest, and you spread that out over 3 or 4 years, and then on top of that, you give Butch Davis his typical assistant coach or defensive coordinator salary? Don't you think that they would probably be more likely to do something like that?
Toby, I think everybody except maybe Joel and Brian Glazer and whoever is in charge of the finances over at One Buck has got to say the answer to that is yes. Why wouldn't there be? I mean, I've just tweeted on both TBO Buccaneers.com and my own tweet site that, you know, why can't they just do that? Why just guarantee whatever it is? And again, if it's $590,000, you guys do the math. I guess that comes out to about, what, 1.7 or whatever. Just guarantee Butch Davis that amount, make him your defensive coordinator, and be done with it. Now, maybe one of the reasons, the last I heard on the Butch Davis thing was, I guess, Friday night. He'd agreed to terms in principle on a contract with the Buccaneers, but the deal still had not been signed. I don't know that anything has changed over the weekend. I didn't get word that it did. Been looking into it, but don't have anything back on that. If it hasn't, maybe that's exactly what the Buccaneers are doing. I don't know this for sure, but it would seem to make sense because, Toby, you're not, with all due respect, I don't think you're the first guy to say to yourself, why don't the Bucs just guarantee him the extra money and be done with it? I mean, you know, they were at a point when they were paying Monty Kiffin $2 million a year to be the defensive coordinator. I'm not sure that Butch Davis is in that category or in that league yet, but he's pretty damn good. And if he's pretty damn good and you think he's important enough to have on your team as a special assistant, then you're going to pay a defensive coordinator anyway. Why not make the guy, unless he doesn't want the job, why not make that guy, you know, your defensive coordinator and pay him accordingly? And if it means you're paying him, you know, $2.5 million a year, then pay him $2.5 million a year. The idea is to win, right?
Exactly, Roy. Interesting aspect of this. Tell me, have you heard anything from this side? Is any of this have to do with the fact that maybe Butch doesn't want to be a full-time coordinator right now? I had heard some rumblings when Asciano initially got the job that Butch would be the D coordinator if he was interested. Have you heard anything like that coming from that side?
Well, I've heard nothing concrete, but I have heard some suggestions that, you know, maybe it's not what he wants to do right now. You know, and I don't know if that means that maybe he doesn't want to put in that kind of time. You know, maybe he's kind of, you know, over the last, you know, 6 months, who knows, maybe his time up before North Carolina, maybe he came, found a hobby that he really likes other than football. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it's a situation that Butch Davis himself doesn't want to get into. Maybe he'd love to be involved with the football team from an advisory capacity, and that's all he wants to do. He doesn't want to be on, you know, hands-on every day with all those hours that it takes to put into it. Maybe he's got some other, maybe he wants to be with his family a little bit more often. So that's a strong possibility, because you do kind of wonder, you know, it seems like a very simple solution. Granted, it's, you know, it's $1.67 million, you know, to make it work. But again, and people will laugh at this, I don't think that is what would stand in the way of the Buccaneers making that move. It just doesn't seem to make sense. So maybe the answer to this whole thing is the fact that maybe Butch Davis at this point doesn't have an interest in being a defensive coordinator for whatever reason.
Roy Cummings from the Tampa Tribune. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Roy E. Cummings. A lot of great insight. Interesting for me is you mentioned earlier that Greg Schiano historically has been a one-voice type of a coach. You know, talk to me a little bit. How does that work here in the Tampa community, considering what he's inheriting? This has not been a situation where the perception of the organization has really been shown in a bright light from the fan base. They're obviously trying to generate some enthusiasm, some excitement to create a larger season ticket base. Do you think maybe he acquiesces a little bit to the desires of the community and fan base and gives us an update on what's actually going on?
I would think that the Buccaneers would probably push for that, yes, because, you know, they've always been really on the very liberal side of the media rules in terms of you know, how they work things with their assistant coaches. It started really, at least under the, certainly under the Glazer rule. When Tony Dungy was here, and Sean, you know this, every assistant coach and every player was encouraged to a great deal by Tony Dungy to speak to the media on a regular basis, because Tony, you know, he wanted guys to be sure that, you know, that they were used to that when it came time, when the media swarm grew during the playoffs and ultimately in a Super Bowl run. He wanted them to be accustomed to that. He didn't want that to be anything new to them. And the tradition really carried over with John Gruden a little bit. Bruce Allen tried to change it, but it didn't work. And it continued certainly with Raheem, who was extremely open. Some of the rules changed, but, you know, I've heard that with Greg Schiano at Rutgers, the assistant coaches did not speak. If you did speak to them, you know, if you happened to run into them at a high school football game or another college game or something, you know, they were a little bit nervous about talking. And, you know, to me, I've always kind of just looked at that and, you know, rolled my eyes and shook my head, because to me it's like, these are grown men, and what, you can't trust them to talk? You know, like, don't we talk every day, guys, to everybody? You know, I don't think if the guy's not smart enough not to give up the, you know, give up all his family secrets, well, then he shouldn't be on your staff, you know. So I look at it that way. I think it's kind of silly and, you know, really sophomoric and amateurish if, you know, not to let coaches talk. But if Greg wants it that way, I'm sure there's a part of the Buccaneers family right now that says, hey, then that's what we got to do, because this is our guy and we're not going to change. We're going to let him run this the way he wants to run it. But at the same time, I would think that Jonathan Grella and some of the other people in the PR end are going to say, hey, you know, this is a community that really deserves to hear from all the assistants, all the coordinators on a regular basis when they want to hear from them. It's been that way here for a long time. That's not the reason we were losing football games, and hopefully that'll be the case.
Roy Cummins, Tampa Tribune here on the King David Show. Roy, I've seen it work both ways. Belichick is renowned up in New England for not, you know, allowing players, coaches to, you know, say different things in the media. Chris Peterson, the head coach of Boise State, is a lot like that. So it can work. It'll be interesting to see, with the atmosphere and environment being what it is, how it works. Changing gears just a little bit. Free agency is just around the corner. The period for franchising any of your own unrestricted free agents is February 20th through March 5th. I don't think we have anyone that fits into that category, but free agency begins March 13th. Let's start here with this current roster. Have you heard any rumblings that some of the guys that are going to be unrestricted that are here, there's going to be an attempt to re-sign them, like a Geno Hayes or a Sean Jones or the like?
I'll be very surprised if Geno Hayes and Sean Jones are welcome back. Maybe the new coaching staff looks at the film and says, no, these are guys that we got to have. But I think based on what I heard from the organization coming out at the end of last season, I think Geno Hayes is a guy that they'll probably let hit the market. Sean Jones, the same thing. There's a possibility maybe they bring Geno Hayes back for a much smaller salary as a backup, you know, as a depth guy, because he can play a couple of positions. But I don't think that's a guy that you re-sign as a starter. So I'd be very surprised to see either one of those guys brought back. I think there could be some, certainly an attempt to bring Rondé Barber back, and for a lot of good reasons. I think there's still some pretty good football left in him. He is a leader of that secondary. It's a very thin spot. But the two positions that you talked about, the two guys you talked about, I'd be surprised if either one of them were back.
Roy, allegedly the new offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers is Mike Sullivan. What do you know about him, and what is his reputation?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He's a different kind of cat. I'll say this. He went to Army, and he was an Army Ranger, and he's into some things that, you know, not your everyday Joe is into. He's into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He's a big MMA guy, which isn't all that unusual, but he's got some different drills that he runs his players through. We wrote about it a little bit on in Saturday's paper after he was announced as the coordinator, and then I wrote up a little bit more about him what he did as a quarterback's coach with Eli Manning, how he's kind of got this top three list that he would ask these guys at the end of the week, and, you know, just to try to, you know, make it, just kind of take their mind off the game a little bit, kind of relax them a little bit. So he's a guy who apparently finds a lot of ways to get the job done that aren't conventional, and I don't think that's a bad thing. The good thing I think about him is that, you know, obviously he's done some pretty good things with the receiving core with the Giants, you know, over the last few years before he became the quarterback's coach, and he obviously did a pretty good job with Eli Manning. Even though he had 25 interceptions a year ago, he still, you know, had a high completion percentage and did a lot of good work as a passer even last year before this past season when he was obviously the Super Bowl MVP. So He's had some success with receivers and quarterback. I don't know what he can do with running back. The one negative I've heard is that even Kevin Gilbride, I guess, who was their offensive coordinator, was kind of saying, well, he's kind of learning on the job. You know, if he was learning on the job as a quarterback's coach, which he clearly was, my guess is he'll sort of be learning on the job as a coordinator as well. But I'll say this, for a team, for an organization that wants to have a power running game and then, you know, use that big arm quarterback to throw it downfield and create some big plays that way, he's coming from a system that kind of, you know, played that style of football on the offensive side of the ball. So I think from that standpoint, he fits what this organization wants to do. And I think when you're going to bring in a coordinator, he's got to fit what you want to do as an organization. It was one of the things with Greg Olsen that he didn't quite fit always with what they wanted to do. You know, the Bucs want to be a power running team and do play action passes and stuff. Greg Olsen was more of a, you know, throw it down the field Mike Martz kind of guy. And I think maybe Mike Sullivan's going to be a little bit different, more along the lines of what Mark Dominic and the Glazers want in terms of their the style of offense they want to run.
Roy, a couple more questions before we let you go. Going back to our current free agents, a guy that's not a free agent but is in the last year of his deal but has a couple things hanging over his head this offseason. Have you heard anything about Aqib Talib? I know there was a report that maybe he was Raheem's guy and not so much Mark Dominic's. What's the feel you get for him right now being a member of next year's team?
Well, that's another good question. I think the Bucs are going to probably wait for the courts to decide Aqib Talib's fate and then ultimately the league. And I think those are going to probably guide the Buccaneers in what they do with Aqib Talib at this point. He's got 1 year left in his contract. At this point, it'd be kind of silly to just cut him because, let's face it, I mean, here's the thing. You need him on your team. Whether you like him or not, you need him right now. If you cut him and you don't have him at all, you're putting yourself in a pretty difficult situation. So I think the Bucs will probably wait to see what happens with the courts, wait to see what happens with the league. If they see an opportunity to you know, improve the secondary, bring in some free agents or a draft pick that allows Aqib Talib to become expendable, well, then maybe he becomes expendable. But, you know, all those reports about Aqib being a Raheem guy, you know, Aqib was a Raheem guy just like Gerald McCoy's a Raheem guy. You know, Raheem loved his players, and he loved Aqib as much as he loved everybody else, Kellen Winslow, Josh Freeman. He didn't really look at too many guys differently, and Aqib was no different. He probably had more difficulty with Aqib, as you might suspect, than anybody. But Aqib was an organizational guy. You know, the people at the top of this organization told myself and Ira Kaufman a year ago that this guy wasn't going anywhere. And we continued to say that he wasn't going anywhere. And, you know, it wasn't Raheem's call. It was an organizational call. And just like it was an organizational call on Barrett Rood and Cadillac Williams, you know, Raheem wanted those guys back too. And he didn't win. So I don't think the Bucs would have gotten rid of Barrett Rood and kept Aqib Talib if they're as concerned about character as they are. So, you know, the fact that he was a Raheem guy, don't read too much into that. He was a Mark Dominic guy and a Glazer guy, too, and he still is, and he's a Buccaneer, and he probably will be until he's expendable. And if he's expendable, and you know, then they'll let him go. But until he's expendable, I think he'll be a Buccaneer.
Roy, last question before we let you go. March 13th, veteran free agency begins across the National Football League. Joel Glazer said at the press conference after they released Raheem Morris that the team would be willing to do whatever it took to win. Shelton Quarles was on another station the other day and said that his staff is prepared. They've looked over the film, that they've identified some guys that they think can help the team, you know, and asked directly, you know, what he thought about how active they'd be in free agency. He said, I hope. What have you heard as far as what level of involvement we'll have in this free agency period?
I get the feeling the Buccaneers, you know, if you want to look at a team that the Buccaneers are really modeling themselves after, it's almost like a cliche, but it is the New York Giants. And the New York Giants last year picked up 3 free agents in free agency. They picked up a guard, they picked up a running back, and they picked up a punter. That's very similar to the Buccaneers, and I don't think it's going to be a whole lot different this year. I wouldn't expect these guys to go out and do what the Eagles did. They're not going to get 6 name free agents that everybody gets excited about. My guess is they'll get 1 or 2 starting caliber players, probably a cornerback and probably a linebacker. They might get a running back. But they'll probably get 1 or 2 starters in free agency, and the rest will probably be guys that you may have heard about if you really follow the game. They're going to be guys who can come in and compete. They're going to improve depth at positions. That, I think, is what they're going to do. And above all, they're going to work to keep their own guys. They're going to work to keep a Jeremy Duda, for example, who they see as a future center for themselves. They're gonna strive to keep the players that they think that are gonna, you know, be part of their core. And so don't look for them to be the Eagles. Look for them to be more like the Giants. But again, I think they realize they have holes and they want to be competitive this year. And I think they'll be striving to get those holes filled. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them get a starting level cornerback, a starting level linebacker, and a starting level running back. Maybe even a safety, but I would think that based on what they've done in the past, I don't think that's going to change a whole lot. They may not be the biggest names in the list, but they'll probably be guys that can help this team immediately.
All right, great stuff. You guys can follow him always on Tampa at the Tampa Tribune, also on Twitter at Roy E. Cummings. Roy, we appreciate it, man. Great stuff as always. Keep us informed if you hear anything. We'd love to have you back on again to have some breaking news here.
Anytime for you, Sean. Toby, you know that, guys.
All right. Good stuff, Roy.
Roy Elvis Matthew Cummings III.
Really?
Yeah, I just made that
up. Oh, wow. I was going to say, that's an impressive name right there.
That's a lot to chew on. We'll get on the other side of the break. We'll give you our opinions on some of the things that Roy said. Here's Whitney.